I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I want to give you a special welcome because this is a special day. It's Mother's Day. And we're so thankful to God for the mothers and the grandmothers and all they mean in our life and all they mean in our society and the great impact they have on our world today. And so God bless you, mothers. This sermon is just for you. But you dads, you can listen in. Maybe you'll learn something. So just kind of listen in. We're looking at the psalmist, Psalm 36, verses 5 to 7. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Heavenly Father, we are so happy that we can put ourselves under the shadow of your wings. And we just thank you for our mothers today, and we pray especially for them that this service will encourage them and bless their hearts. And we thank you for their wonderful lives and all they mean to us and all they mean to the kingdom of God. So bless us in this service and honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa has a beautiful song, What Love Really Means. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. He cries in the corner where nobody sees. He's the kid with a story no one would believe. He prays every night, dear God, won't you please, could you send someone here who will love me, who will love me for me, not for what I have done or what I will become, who will love me for me, 'cause nobody has shown me what love really means. Her office is shrinking a little each day. She's the woman whose husband has run away. She'll go to the gym after working today. Maybe if she was thinner, then he would have stayed. And she says, who'll love me for me? Not for what I have done or what I will become. Who will love me for me? Nobody has shown me what love really means. He's waiting to die as he sits all alone. He's a man in a cell who regrets what he's done. He utters a cry from the depths of his soul. Oh Lord, forgive me, I wanna go home. Then he heard a voice somewhere deep inside, and it said, I know you've murdered, and I know you've lied, and I've watched you suffer all of your life, but now that you listen, I'll tell you that I will love you for you, not for what you have done or what you will become. I will love you for you. I will give you the love that you never knew. Love you for you, not for what you have done or what you will become. I will love you for you. I will give you the love that you never knew.
Well, thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's all made possible because we know the Lord and can love through the Lord. Wonderful sermon, wonderful message. Well, this is Mother's Day, and I'm going to read a letter from a mother who is in prison because she has a heart and a soul. And she is looking for the Lord too. So This comes from Mitchellville, Iowa. I am currently serving time in Iowa Correctional Institution for Women. This is my second time here, and it seems I cannot get it together. The reason I'm writing is I woke up to your service on TV this morning, and for the first time, I actually connected. You mentioned something about a little boy asking him, "What if Jesus won't come into my heart?" She says, "I felt like that for some time. No matter how much I pray or ask for forgiveness, I feel nothing." The pastor mentioned in all his 70 years of preaching, he has never heard anyone ask that. His answer was, "Ask and ye shall receive." Why is my life going downhill and I feel God and Jesus is not with me? Please give me guidance, hope, and love. And most of all, teach me how to find the Lord. Now that's a beautiful letter. And we've already written to her and sent her literature. And don't go by feelings. You just go by believing God's word. And so here's a dear lady who's fallen into hard times, but she's turning to Jesus. And she'll find Jesus' arms are wide open. And Jesus is saying, "Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you hope." And so pray for this dear mother in prison. And God will use her there. And when she's out, then she can serve the Lord. Now here's one from Port Orchard, Washington. My wife and I are new listeners to your program each Saturday. We are recent Christians and have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and starting our journey of repentance to build a new life in Christ's church. Thanks for the sermons. In Jesus' name, amen. And this is a beautiful letter because here a husband and his wife both have come to Jesus together. And that's just wonderful. And so we've sent literature to them. And we all ought to pray for this dear lady in prison. We ought to pray for these new Christians starting out because the devil will try to discourage them every way he can. And just pray that they'll lean on the Lord and trust his word and grow in grace. Here's from Calabar, Nigeria. Greetings in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you for your ministry and broadcast. It is a blessing to me. Please put my name on your mailing list to receive your new song. Thanks and God bless you in his love. And so when he talks about the new song, we put out a little Bible study every month. And we send that all over the world. We get letters, I'm guessing maybe 15 or 20, that we send to different parts of the world, and they get our new song. And if you're not getting it, you just stay tuned. I'm going to give the address in just a minute. And you can get it. It's a little Bible study. And then it also has excerpts from letters of people that write in that'll bless you. And it has a sermon topics and this text, so you can study that. So just get your pencil ready. We'll give it in just a minute. Here's Los Altos, California. I'm 88 years old, deaf and in poor health, no longer able to attend church. So your preaching and members are a great blessing to me. Thank you for preaching strictly from the Bible. Many preachers don't do that anymore. God bless you for your faithfulness. And so here's a shut-in. Someone can't get out, can't get to the service, and can't hear the service if they are there. And so when you make your gift and when you make your prayers, you're ministering to these people. You're part of the ministry. You can't get along without us, and we can't get along without you. So let's join hands and get the word out to all the world. Here's a nice letter from Fort Collins, Colorado. Your message this morning on ION TV gave me a certain peace about a very difficult situation in my life. I decided that every time the thought of this situation pops into my head, instead of crying or cursing or muttering bad things about that person, I'll instead immediately pray for peace regarding the individual in question. It's amazing the calming effect it already has on my morning. I pray for more mornings like this one and for a closer walk with Jesus as I try to make my way through the process. Thanks, Harold. That was my dad's name too. Well, your dad had a good name. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't understand these people, why they don't name more of them Harold. Because the poor little things, you could really bless them with a name like that, I think. All right, here's Marshfield, Missouri. I've been taking care of my mother for the past 9 years. I have taken her to church, have had services at home, but she responds the best to your service and praise God for it. My hope is she is saved. She says she's saved, but I'm skeptical. She's 87 and still holds on to the belief that if she is a good person, that will get her to heaven. Thank you for your consistent preaching on how to get to heaven as I let your words wash over her every week. Thank you again. And that's exactly it. That's the nail on the head. What we have to do is give it over and over. That's what the advertiser do. They repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And we go over and over. You have to accept Jesus. You have to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Don't get fancy about it and don't make it hard. Children, do it. Just, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake my sins the best I can. You need to say that too, because Jesus taught repentance. Repentance is turning. And so you have to receive Jesus, but repent, turn from your sins, and then thank him. Then tell somebody. Here's Sebring, Florida. We really appreciate the rapidly evangelistic message on Saturdays on ION TV broadcast. Come to Jesus from the very beginning through to the very end. No wasting time spreading the gospel right out of the gate. Prayers. Much love in Christ. Keep on keeping on. And by the way, they're talking about ION. Now, that's a national broadcasting. And so we're putting on that. We're on that. And so you can tell your friends, you can check ION and find out the time and the place for their station for you. And you can join us. Maybe you haven't been able to get us and somebody will tell you about ION. Then there's one more that I want to read. And this is a letter. From time to time, in my preaching, I'll say, you ought to go to church. And I love the church. I spend almost all my life in the church, 70 years, and most all of them in the church. Now I'm into this ministry, which is a church of its own, really, a kind of a ministry of its own. And I've said several times, if you can go out to eat, you can go to church. And so this lady writes, and she's telling some things, some problems about people in wheelchairs. And sometimes it's not that easy. And she feels convicted, and yet she doesn't know exactly how to handle it. So this is what she writes. Do you think that God understands that my home is mainly my safe place and understands that I rarely eat a meal out? There may be other people out there feeling the guilt I am now feeling, right or wrong. Please give us your usual good advice. Please accept my donation for your continued television ministry, and thank you. So I want to say a word about that. You know, I've just spent a year in a wheelchair, and things are different when you're in a wheelchair. And there are times that you can go to a cafe, but maybe the church isn't accessible for wheelchairs or for the handicapped. And maybe you don't have a place where you can get into worship. Maybe you have, and some people have a problem with perfume. And I'm going to tell you, this lady was talking about that. She says, the perfume, sometimes it gets my allergies and I can't stand it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I know. I don't know if it's perfume or if it's liniment or if it's deodorant or what it is, but it can be powerful stuff. And so I know what she's talking about. I get a sniff of that once in a while and about drives me crazy. So I'm going to change that and say, try to go to church. Everybody, try to be in church. Remember, the church is an institution of God. God instituted three things. He instituted marriage, he instituted government, and he instituted the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And you ought to support it, and you ought to be in it and with it, because they need you and you need them. And God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You ought to be in church. God bless you, dear friends. Don't substitute television for church. And so just this is it. We're just working together, hand in hand with the church. So if you go out to eat and you can't get to church, just pray about it and just settle with the Lord, and I'm not going to judge anybody. I will just put that in your hands. Well, we want to thank all of you for writing. We have so many nice letters. It's hard to know which ones to use. And somebody says, well, maybe you could use more letters and less sermon. Well, that's horrible. I never heard of such a thought as that, less sermon. And so we're not going to have a whole, the whole hour reading letters. But we do appreciate your letters, and we appreciate your gifts. And if you want this ministry to continue, if you believe it's something that's worthwhile, you think something that God is using, then you need to support us. And you can send your gift to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want to give to us, you can give us anywhere in the world. You just get on ChristianWorshipHour.com, get under, it says donations. That means you're going to give us something. And there's PayPal. And so then you pay, and we're your pals. And if you don't pay, well, we're your pal anyway. But we're just a better pal, I guess. I don't know. We won't get into that. But we do need your help. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. And so just pray about it. Give us God directs. Give us God lays it upon your heart. And then if you want the new song, and I know you'll like it, and you'll get a blessing from it. Maybe some of them use it for Sunday school lessons and others for little Bible studies. So you just write for the new song. And always remember when you send your gift, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so they audit our books and they check everything we have, and everything's on the level. So I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you're going to pay, and we're all going to be happy. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who give so faithfully now for over 35 years, and just bless every gift and every giver, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and God bless all of you who help us in the work. We are reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1 today, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the Christians in Algeria. Every week, we pray for a different country, for the Christians and suffering in these countries, and it is amazing. All of the countries where Christians are being openly persecuted, it's almost unbelievable. And they're going through some hard times, some terrible times. And so we as a church, believers, as a church of the body of Christ, we need to pray for the people. So this week, Algeria. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes about Timothy and about how that he is has a Christian mother, a godly mother. And that's what we're thinking about today, our mothers. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor for me as a prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today for this special day, Mother's Day. And here we have the story of Paul as he writes and he talks about grandmother Lois and mother Eunice and how they pass that on to their young son and grandson, Timothy. And we just want to thank you today for the mothers and the grandmothers, dear Lord, who stand firm to you, who carry on the faith and instill it in the lives of their children and their offspring. Just encourage them and comfort them and give them special hope and give them special help. And Lord, help them to lean on you and help them to know that their labor is not in vain in the Lord, because your word is going to accomplish the thing that you sent it out to do. And as they instill the word of God and the Son of God into the lives of their offspring, may they see that they're turning many to righteousness and they're going to shine as the stars forever and ever, Saint. As Daniel says. And then, dear Lord, we're praying for the believers, the Christians in Algeria. And to just pray, oh God, we can't imagine what it would be like to see our children killed before our eyes. How evil can men be? But when Satan takes a hold of a life, there's no end to what. There's just no imagining what they can do and how evil they can become and how vicious and terrible and heartless and godless. And the deeper they get into sin, the more wicked they are. How can they take the life of a little child, and yet they do it all the time? And Lord, we just wish that you would move and just strike them from the face of the earth. And yet you wait, because may your God, maybe you're giving them a time to turn to you. You're giving somebody another chance today to come to you and be born again. And so we just give everything into your hands. You are God and you're on the throne. Not one thing is happening that you're not allowing. And someday when we see you face to face and we'll see these martyrs, we'll talk to them and know them. Well, we'll understand that you had a reason and a purpose. And we know that sin is behind it all. And as sin is rampant and becomes more so, evil will flourish more and more until you come and put an end to it. So bless us in this service. May it be honoring to Christ and may it be encouraging to everyone. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song. I know you're going to enjoy it. Precious Memories. So God bless you, Joyce, or Barb.
Thank you.
precious memories, haunting angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appear. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. I remember Mother praying, Father too, on bended knee. The sun is sinking, shadows falling, but their prayers still follow me. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious memories fill my soul.
Thank you, Barb. And I know we have many memories of our mothers and good memories, happy memories. Well, this is Mother's Day, and so we set this aside to honor our mothers, to encourage them, and we want to give due respect to our mothers and to honor them and help them along the way and let them know that they're appreciated and they make a difference in our life. I know that many times a mother's role in life is not an easy one, especially if she has an uncooperative husband or if she's alone in the matter. And so they need special prayers. And sometimes the children don't cooperate the way they should. And they don't listen or they don't help or they're not thoughtful. And so we need to just say to mothers, you're doing a great job and you made a big difference in our life. And for that, we give you thanks. Furthermore, what I have to say today is about Christian mothers, those who know the Lord, those who love the Lord, those who are instilling in the hearts of their children the things of God. I'm not talking about the mothers that are out into the world and don't care. Sometimes it seems that they don't. But especially the mothers who love the Lord and who are carrying on a work for the Lord through their children. And we're not talking about perfection, because no one is perfect. We're all in the same boat. We're all poor sinners, and we all make mistakes, and we all stumble at times. But I'm talking about those who are dedicated to the Lord and living for the Lord Jesus. So let's try to honor them and encourage them in every way we can. And so I want to say three things to encourage the mothers. First of all, we ought to honor our mothers, for to them we owe our life. At no small cost, at no small risk, they brought us into this world. At great suffering, they gave us life. And remember what God told Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you'll give birth to the children. And along with the pain, then comes great risk. And I've had services for mothers who've gone down into the valley to bring some child into this world, and they didn't come back. You see it played out, for instance, in the life of Rachel. Jacob and Rachel are moving from Bethel. And so we read in the scripture, while they were from some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, don't be afraid, you have another son. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, the way to Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. And if you were to go to Hebron, you could see that tomb to this day. So the mother's role is not an easy road. She pays a great price to bring children into this world, and so we ought to thank her and ought to show appreciation and love. As a result, then, we could think of ways how we could express that love. Charles Stanley has a list of some ways we can do that to show mother's love. We could love her verbally, Stanley says, and in that way, in detail, tell her, speak to her, tell her what she means to you and how she's helped you. Or we could love her physically, that is, put your arms around her and give her a hug and give her a kiss. And so many times we're reluctant to do some of these things, and yet show that love. And she carried you within her body all those months, and so now you can put your arms around her and give her a hug to show that. And then love her patiently, Stanley says. That is, listen to her. When she talks to you, when she wants to instruct you, when she wants to give you some wisdom, when she's trying to talk to you, listen to her. And pay attention. And sometimes, you know, you talk to people and they're looking way off yonder somewhere else. God only knows where they're looking, but they're sure not with you. And so pray that you'll be attentive to your mother when she talks. Love her gratefully. Think of all that she's done for you and how hard she's worked for you. And I think of my mother, lived out on the farm. We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. And she had five children and a couple of hired men. And my dad, and how she worked, God bless her. And I remember in the casket I saw, the thing that stood out to me was her hands. She worked so hard. And so be grateful for what she's done for you. And don't wait till she's gone. My mother's gone. But if your mother's here, you go to her and take her some candy or take her a flower or something. She'll probably pass out, but you take some smelling salts and bring her back. And God will just bless you, and it'll bless her. She sure deserves it. He says, love her tenderly. Now, be gentle. Be kind. Love her generously. When you think of all she's done for you, is there anything too good for her? Is there anything that you shouldn't do, couldn't do to help her, to make her better, and to help her, and to bless her life? And then love her forgivingly. Don't hold bitterness toward your mother. And maybe she's made her mistakes, just like all of us have. And we all have feet of clay. And so just take your mother and love her. And do it cheerfully. Be happy to do so. If, do this and honor her. So there are many ways in which we could help our mothers and encourage our mothers and show our love. And that's what we ought to do. And just remember that they brought us into this life. We owe them a lot. And then the second thing I put down, we ought to love and honor our mothers. From them, we learn some of the basic lessons of life. You know, before we ever go to school, we're learning lessons in the home. And I know that maybe the habit of obedience is to be formed. If it's formed at all, it's formed at home, and mother is usually the one that does it. Dad has a part, and many times Christian fathers, and we'll do that on Father's Day and give them their due because they have a part. But mothers can impart a lot to help them form obedience, obey the laws of the land, the habit of prayer, showing us her praying. You know, and my mother, she couldn't pray in public if she had to. If you ask her to get up in front of the church and pray, she'd die. But she could pray at home, and she prayed for her children. She prayed before us. And my earliest recollection as a child is my mother giving us a kiss, a Bible story, a kiss, and a prayer. And those things stay with a child, and those things were with me 93 years old. And I remember as plain as day. When you find out, gentleness of speech is taught in the home before a child even gets out into the schools, into the regular school systems. Gentleness of speech, a consideration of the rights of others and how others feel and how working with other people and how they feel about things. The disposition is formed and the foundation of character is formed. All of these things, the bent of life is formed in childhood. And so much of it comes from a mother's knee. Thank God for that. When I run down that list, I think of how my mother taught us as a child. And whatever I learned in those days, I learned from my angel mother. Because my dad was gone most of the time. Business took him away. He couldn't help it. He had to make a living the best he could. So the lessons of life came from my mother. And especially the spiritual lessons of life. Knowing and loving Jesus. Just knowing that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus loves me, this I know. And just as Jesus was so real to my mother, she talked to him. And she used to sing as she worked. And she was so real that Jesus was so real to her. And that was brought, came into my life, that Jesus is real and he's there. And the Bible, the Holy Word of God, my mother, to this day, yesterday, I'm working in my study and I got papers all over the place and I don't know which way to turn. There's my Bible. I'm going to lay a paper on that Bible. I couldn't lay that one piece of paper on that Bible. My mother says, that's a holy book. You never place anything on that Bible. And so those things stay with us. And mothers make an indelible mark on our life. I had a good friend, Leo Fiok. And we were in church one day, and he's with the Lord now, just recently went to be with the Lord. And we were talking at the door, and when we got done talking, I said, there's a lady over there watching us. I went over to her, I said, you know what we were talking about? And the lady says, no. I said, we are 90-year-old, two 90-year-old people in our 90s talking about our mothers. And that mother makes an indelible mark. And you mothers, you young mothers, just watch your step and do the best you can. And that will go all through their life. They'll carry those. Just think, for instance, it's illustrated in the life of the great Moses. You know the story. The child is born, and the Pharaoh says that they're all the male children to be put to death. So they defy the Pharaoh, and they don't do it. And so then they keep him for a while until, I think, 3 months. And then they have to put him, they have to get take him away. And so they put him in a little ark in the Nile River. You know the story. And the mother, Jochebed, went there and watched over, and then they worked it so that the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she nursed her little boy. They paid her to nurse her own child. And in those days, they'd nurse a child of 6 months, or 6 years sometimes. And so she had that little boy. And so all of that time, she was teaching him and training him about all of the things, because Moses is Pharaoh's daughter, and he's going to be Pharaoh someday. He's going to be the king. And so they're going to train him when the time comes. They'll just fix him and plan him and train him so that he'll be a king of Egypt. And it was rich and powerful at that time. And so there was one thing they didn't know, and that was Jochebed, Moses' mother's going to have him for 6 to 8 years. And during that 6 to 8 years, she taught him. She taught him, he says, Moses, Moses, listen to me now. You are a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian. You are a Hebrew. The God of the Hebrews is the most powerful God. He's more powerful than the God of the Egyptians. And then she would maybe even draw that little boy close to him and say, Moses, now you listen to me. You are a Hebrew. Now, who are the Hebrews? The Hebrews are slaves. They're downright slaves being beaten to death. But they're also the child of, they're the people of God. They're the chosen of God. And she says, Moses, don't you ever forget, no matter whatever happens, that you are a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian. And all the power of the world, who are the Egyptians? They were the powerhouse of the world. That when King Tutankhamun died, they have a burial for him that's in the millions. I mean, like maybe 500, 600 million dollars in gold. I think the face mask that go over the over him was beaten gold, 24 pounds beaten gold. They were filthy rich, and the Hebrews had nothing but scars where they were beaten. And so the Egyptians were going to come and take him. And sure enough, when he's about 6, 7, 8 years old, the chariot rolls up, and the Egyptians takes that little boy, and Jochebed sees him go off. And so we read that they taught him, and they taught him everything they could. Now read the rest of the story. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And by the way, by his parents, Amram, the father, was in this helping too. Jochebed is a key figure because she's giving birth, but dad is there too. So give him credit. And the parents, because they saw he was a proper child, were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, look at this, when he was come to years, he's ready now, he's going to become the Pharaoh. And it's offered to him. It's expected of him. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. A mother's influence. Oh God, a mother's influence. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And so with this, mothers, how she influences our lives and how it just makes a mark that you never miss, you never lose. I never lost it, and I never will, I'm sure. I read the story of Henry J. Hines. He was famous, fabulous, famous, wealthy, and he was a distributor of 57 varieties line. And when he died, he left a will. And this is a part of the confession, a part in this will. And this is what he said. Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to her I attribute any success I have attained. Oh, you mothers, you have a great power over that child. And rightly so, for out of your body you carry them for those 9 months. They are a part of you. And there's something there that you just can't erase. And then I want you to look at the honor. We honor our mothers when we show that the love we have shown us. And the love that shines out in our life and the lives of others. Love is what the poor world needs. We need more love in our marriages. We need more love in our homes. We need more love between parents and children and parents. Excuse me. We need more love in our churches and love for one another. And I don't think there's anything that so sustains us and so restrains us. I know that I was kept from a lot of different sins because I didn't want to let my mother down. It just restrained it. I love my mother, and I'm not saying I was perfect. I was a long ways from perfect. I got a stack of my sins that would choke a horse, but they're all washed away in the blood, so you'll never know what they are. Ha ha. That's all between them. That's all gone, see? But sometimes that love restrains us. It compels us, and then it restrains us. It keeps us back. And a mother's love was pictured in 1 Corinthians 13, for instance. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude, doesn't demand its own way, is not irritable or touchy, doesn't hold grudges, will hardly even notice when others do it wrong, is never glad about injustice, rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You'll always believe in him, always expect the best of him, always stand your ground in defending him. So many ways. Oh, yes, in so many ways. Mother's love is like God's love. Except the mother's love is finite. It's on an earthly level. God's love is infinite, and God's love expands. We couldn't love like God if we wanted to, except when we have Christ. Then that love starts to show in us, and that real love that comes from God. That's why a mother loves. Have you ever heard it said, he has a face that only a mother could love? Well, that's the mothers, and they love and they care. And so far deeper than the love of a mother is the love of God for his children. That's because God is love, and God is love. And mother's love, a good mother, Christian mother, is a faithful picture of God's of love to us. And I read just recently about William Gladstone. He is a great British statesman and a one-time Prime Minister of England. And he announces the death of a Princess Alice. And he goes to the House of Commons and he talks about this Princess Alice's death. She is a mother of several children. And he puts it like this. He says that he told a touching story. He says the little son of the Princess Ernest was seriously ill with diphtheria. And the child could be at home, but under no circumstance was she to touch that child, and surely not to take his breath. And so she was careful about that. And one day, this is a Gladstone telling the House of Commons, one day Ernest was struggling to breathe, and the mother, totally ignoring the doctor's advice, took her little one in her arms and held him close to herself. And gasping and struggling for his life, the little boy said, "Mama, kiss me." And again, this beautiful princess kissed her child, knowing that exactly what might happen. And sure enough, it happened. She contracted diphtheria and died within 2 weeks. Now, that is a picture of a woman's love for a child. But it's also the picture of God's love for us. And you see, there was a wonderful God. And he looks out of heaven and he sees us. And we're like in diphtheria, only we have sin. And we're covered with sin outwardly and inwardly. Every last fiber of us is sin, full of sin. And Jesus, the Son of God, seeing that awful plight, comes down from heaven and he kisses us. And when he did that, he took all of our sins into himself. And he knew what it would cost. He knew full well what he was doing. Freely he came from heaven. Freely he was born of that woman and grew to manhood. Freely he went to the cross. And freely he took our sins. And freely he died because he took our sins. Listen to the account. Jesus is in the garden. And listen to what happens here. It says, St. Luke says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. In Luke chapter 22, when I was a child in Sunday school, we had that story. And I thought, oh, yes, I can see. When he thought of those awful spikes driven through his hands, would be driven through his hand and his feet. And when his awful suffering, no wonder he sweat great drops of blood. But that's not why he sweat drops of blood. It wasn't the agony of the cross and the shame of the cross. It was our sins, your sins and my sins. Because in that Garden of Gethsemane, he was kissing us. He was taking our sins into his body and the sins of the whole world. And that's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. So Jesus took our sins, and the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So there you have it. We had the sins, plenty of them. Jesus had the righteousness. And there in the shadow of the olive trees of Gethsemane, He takes into His holy sinless body all the sins of the world, and He pays for them on the cross, so that many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. He had the power to take our sins, and when we confess our sins to Him and ask Him to save us, He washes them all away. And so then He gives us, instead of those sins, He gives us righteousness. He clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. And so someday when we stand before God Almighty, we're going to stand pure and clean and beautiful, just like a bride at an altar. Listen to Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful as in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with a dress. You know what? When I stand before the pearly gates, you know what's going to happen? They're going to look at me, and they're not going to see Harold Salem with 93 sins. Years of sins hung around his neck. They're going to see the righteousness of Christ. They're going to see Jesus Christ. I am in Christ. And they're going to open the door and they're going to say, come on in. Beulah's been looking for you. That beautiful Savior. And it's all because of Jesus. It all hangs on Jesus. But that's not all of the story. You see, when we are born again, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we read about His death on the cross, just think of this, we're told in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the one, and it says, who for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus rejoiced that He could take us in His arms and take away our sins. What a wonderful Savior. And when you open your heart to Jesus Christ, you're born again. That is when you pray and say, dear Jesus, thank You for taking my sins into Your sinless pure body. Thank You for shedding Your blood and washing away those sins. Not cover them, wash them away forever. And as far as the east is from the west, so our sins are removed from us. And you can't join the east and the west. They're gone forever. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, You said. And You always keep Your word. And when we accept You, we're born again. We're regenerated. We're born from above. We're born the second birth. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. And we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, as we're told in Ephesians. Oh, yes, yes. He loved us. He kissed us. He took our sins and it cost His life. But let me tell you something, dear friends. That wonderful Savior is there today wanting you to come to Him, opening your heart to Him. And that wonderful Savior who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we would believe in Him. You have to believe in Him. You have to not just know about Jesus Christ. The devil knows about Him. But you have to have Him in your heart and soul. And He'll never be there until you open the door and you ask Him in. He's not an intruder. He's not a trespasser. And He's not going to knock any doors down. You open the door. And I'm sure that I know there are multitudes right now. And He's knocking at your door. And you're saying, oh God, I never realized that You paid for my sins. That You voluntarily took our sins. And I am a sinner and I've sinned so bad. And don't ever think for a minute you've sinned so bad you can't come. I get letters from people and they say, God will never take me. I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. Who hasn't? And this wonderful Savior, He will forgive us. And where grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Your grace of God covers all of the sins of the world. But you have to come to Jesus. And as a songwriter put it, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Do you know Jesus? You've got to have Jesus. You have to accept Jesus Christ. And we're praying. Everybody here on this team is praying. And there's a lot of people around the world praying. You just say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sin. And I'll follow you the best I can. And then you write to us and we'll send you some literature. And if you want to help us in this work, we're not underwritten by any organization. It's just God's gifts. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to hope that you'll help us in this work because we need your prayers, we need your support, and you write, and we'll carry on. Now we want to say a word to those who are on sick beds and in wheelchairs and you can't get out and you're lonely and you're weary and nobody comes to see you. Jesus is with you there. And maybe if you've accepted the Lord, he's right there with you. And if you haven't, you pray and ask him to come into your life and you'll never be alone and he'll never slumber nor sleep, but he'll always be there. And I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he says, I will be with you to the end of the earth. All power is given to me. And I have the power to be with you and to help you, and he'll do that. So we're going to pray for you now. And dear Heavenly Father, we're praying first of all for these who need to open their heart. May there be multitudes right now making that prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And those who are struggling and those who are hurting, your people, you told Isaiah, said, comfort ye my people. So may they rest in you and trust in you and love you and help them to know that underneath are the everlasting arms and that you'll carry them through in some of these days. Bright sunny days, they'll see the city of gold and they'll be entered into those pearly gates into that wonderful city where it has no sun because the Son of God shines forever. Bless us all, help us all in Jesus' name. So God bless you, dear friends. Tell others about our service. Join us, pray for us, help us. And God bless you, we love you all. Amen.